Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Zydus Wellness, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniket from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Jacob. Hi, good evening. A warm welcome to you all on this call. At ICICI, it's our absolute pleasure to host the call for Zydus Wellness. From the management, we have with us Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman, Mr. Tarun Arora, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Nayak, Chief Financial Officer. We'll start with opening comments from Tarun, sir, post which we'll open it for questions. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. I'll start on this. Good evening and welcome to the post-results teleconference of Zydus Wellness Limited for quarter one, financial year 2022-23. We have with us Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO. Having been impacted by the pandemic for the two consecutive financial years during the peak of the summer season, the company this time around saw a normal quarter with timely arrival of summer. On the back of the strong distribution and marketing efforts, the company could also re-recruit the consumers for the summer-heavy brands like Glucon-D and Nycil. As a result, these brands witnessed resurgence in demand, clocking the strong double-digit growth. Though the inflation had been a concern until last quarter, we saw green shoots on inflation easing out on palm oil and packing material prices towards the end of the first quarter. If the similar trend continues, it may give some respite in the coming quarters. On a consolidated basis, the company has registered a strong growth of 17.8% on net sales, which includes volume growth of 10.3% during the first quarter of financial year. E-commerce channel continued its growth momentum during the quarter and is now contributing 6.5% of sales, which was at 5.9% for similar comparable period last year. Our gross margin as percentage to net sales has sequentially improved by 352 basis points on the back of price increase, cost improvement measures, and product mix. However, on year-on-year basis, the gross margins dipped by 70 basis points due to inflationary pressure. As a part of our endeavor to mitigate the risk and ensure business continuity in unprecedented situation, the company revisited its manufacturing footprint that focused on redistributing the manufacturing of same product in different geographies. With the objective of having leaner operations which are closer to the consumers, which was one of the key objectives of Transformation 2.0, the company has ceased the operations of Sitarganj plant. The company has incurred one-off expenditure of rupees 29 million on account of the same during the first quarter. The current and recurring savings in operational cost on account of cessation of Sitarganj plant will more than outweigh some more one-off expenses in the coming quarters. The quarter also saw some significant milestones with overall availability of Zydus Wellness products crossing 2.5 million stores with equal split between urban and rural distribution. Also, our largest brand, Glucon-D, crossed 60% market share milestone for the first time in several years at a MAT level, as reported by Nielsen. Let me take you through the highlights of the consolidated financial year, financial performance of the quarter one financial year 2022-23. During the first quarter of financial year 2022-23, our net sales grew by 17.8% to 6,930 million rupees. Our total income from operations grew by 16.6% to 6,968 million rupees. EBITDA grew by 5.5% year-on-year to 1,481 million rupees. PBT before exceptional items grew by 6.9% year-on-year to 1,399 million rupees. Reported net profit was up by 4.7% year-on-year at 1,370 million rupees. Adjusted net profit before exceptional items was up by 7.0% year-on-year at 1,399 million rupees. With that, let me share some of the highlights of the operations for the quarter gone by. We continued our thrust on marketing initiatives to grow the categories and increase market share of our brands during the quarter. To narrate a few, on the Glucon-D front, as the market demand led by on-the-go consumers opened up, which was absent during the last two consecutive summer seasons, the brand witnessed a resultant shift in the demand, which was supported with strong media coverage with Pankaj Tripathi as an endorser to drive daily relevance for energy drinks synergized with consumer activations. We also launched 20 gram sachet as a pilot in select cities, which was supported through digital campaign. We continue to drive the growth of ImmunoVolt through the launch of a popular consumer variant of Kaccha Mango towards the end of first quarter. Glucon-D has maintained its number one position with a market share of 60.4% in the glucose powder category, which is an increase of 203 basis points over the same period last year as per MAT June 2022 report of Nielsen. On the Complan front, the health food drinks category saw continued slowdown, which was further compounded by down-trading to LUPs and lower priced pouch packs. For Complan, key packs are holding segment share. We have taken focused interventions on it, increasing play in sachet and pouches along with activations to drive distribution, which should show over next couple of quarters. We continue to support the brand with its superiority campaign, Pack Palto Pal Dekho. The brand, through its campaign, continued to build superiority of protein over competitors and urges mothers to turn the pack for having a tangible reason to buy. The campaign has witnessed positive response in persuasion and consideration scores overall. The brand's market share stood at 4.8% in the health food drink category as per MAT June 2022 report of Nielsen. With a focus on category development, we continue to promote the stevia-based sugar-free green variant through thematic campaign communication of Fitness Ka Pehla Kadam with celebrity Katrina Kaif, along with various social media digital initiatives for sugar-free brand. The brand did not see growth during the first quarter due to high base of COVID wave two, which was led by high diabetic consumption. However, the brand witnessed healthy growth in distribution, expanding to 497,000 lakh outlets, which is an increase of 26,000 outlets over a similar period. The sugar-free brand continues to maintain its leadership with a market share of 95.5% as per the MAT June 2022 report of IQVIA. On the back of Sugar Badlo, Health Badlo campaign and consumer offer initiative, Sugarlite brand continued to do well during the quarter and drive double-digit growth. Moving on to the personal care front, Everyuth brand witnessed yet another strong double-digit growth during the quarter. The brand was supported by TV and digital campaigns across its sub-segments like face wash, scrubs, and peel-offs. Everyuth scrub has maintained its number one position with a market share of 41.8% in facial scrub category, which is an increase of 511 basis points over the same period last year. Everyuth peel-off has maintained its number one position with a market share of 76% in the peel-off category. Everyuth brand is at number 5 position with a market share of 6.6% at the overall facial cleansing segment level. The availability of Everyuth increased to 6.8 lakh outlets from 6 lakhs for the same period in the previous year. With a good onset of summer season, Nycil brand has witnessed a strong comeback and registered a double-digit growth. The brand was supported with aggressive TV campaigns and on-ground activations to drive the demand. Nycil has maintained its number one position with a market share of 34.2% in the prickly heat powder category with a volume market share of 37.6%. The availability improved by 16.5% to 1.67 million outlets. On the dairy and spreads category front, Nutralite brand has registered yet another strong double-digit growth during the quarter gone by on year-on-year basis. Nutralite Dood Shakti dairy portfolio is also gaining good traction as we are expanding presence of ghee in institutional channels through Nutralite Dood Shakti Professional Ghee. With a normal monsoon within most parts of the country, we are hopeful that demand situation may improve and we would strive to support it on the back of efforts on the brand-led marketing initiatives, increased distribution reach and product innovation. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A. Over to the coordinator for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kapil Jagasia from Edelweiss Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello. First of all, congratulations on a decent set of numbers after, you know, quite some time with the normal quarter. So my first question is, could you provide some color on Everyuth facial scrub? So here you have been garnering higher market share for quite some quarters now. So is there any change in strategy here or any new launches which are growing higher than the category itself?
On the facial scrub, actually, we being the leader, we have focused on category development, and I think that's our initiative across. We've been able to push the category growth to a higher level over last couple of years, specifically despite the challenges of COVID when category actually came down. And two or three things that are working specifically for us is, I think our last communication, our latest communication, which focuses on the need of scrub over and above the face washes, supported by our strong distribution expansion drive, has really helped us improve our shares.
So it is more of related to the new product development and new launches, because of which the market share has been increasing. Also, the lotions would be coming under this, or it would be under Nycil?
No, lotions, body lotions are under Everyuth. They are reported separately. It's still an early stage for us to talk about it. But also, the season will be in the following quarters when it becomes sizable in terms of contribution.
Okay. So my next question is on the sugar free category. So over here, there has been, kind of muted or probably degrowth in this quarter. So is it because of some change in behavior after COVID towards health and hygiene product categories, or, something else, that might be happening in this category? So could you provide some color on this?
So yes, COVID did see a disproportionate increase in consumption, especially during wave one and wave two, where the numbers shot up substantially, and we built up a strong basis, especially for our pellets and sugar-free gold-led business, which has a high usage amongst diabetics and some heavy users. I think that base has become a part of it, which we do see a certain weaning of consumption. We've also triangulated with the usage of diabetic products being under pressure, because of our pharma parent. Having said this, we are continuing to build our distribution. Like I mentioned, we have increased our distribution by almost 5-6% to 26,000 outlets, and our journey continues. We are also seeing sugar-free green, which is a natural variant, which is very important to our growth strategy, so that we overcome the fear of sugar, artificial sweeteners, if anyone has, and that has been building up very well across channels. So we believe we will be able to overcome the current rut that the brand is facing in the last couple of quarters.
So I think maybe if Sharvil, so Kapil, if I can add into what Tarun said, right? I think the brand is still on a very strong fundamental. While we had an high increase in consumption because of COVID, we see certain decrease there. But more importantly, with the natural substitute of sugar-free green, we believe that this will create a great opportunity for the brand to significantly grow, because it will remove many of the unwanted issues that generally people feel with substitutes. So I think our strategy is very much aligned towards building that and the Sugar Lite brand as an adjacency, and we believe that would really expand our opportunity with this brand.
And how big the Sugar Lite brand would be of the category?
It's high single digits of the overall brand portfolio, as a percentage of the overall brand portfolio.
Okay. And so, for this quarter slowdown in sugar free, is it specific to domestic markets, or even the international markets are seeing this this high?
No slowdown in the international markets. Actually, we've launched a sugar free extension, sugar free delight cookies, and international market slowdown is more to do with some of their currency, or I mean, challenges that we face, if at all. It's nothing to link to any brand-led issues. So it's reasonably good in terms of our demand for sugar-free international market.
Okay, okay. So thank you for all the answers. I'll come back in the question.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may enter star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my side. So first, our portfolio is relatively very inflationary, very discretionary in nature, which usually takes a beating in an inflationary environment. So from that the perspective, what we have seen in last 6 months, the inflationary scenario has been unprecedented. How would you read the current quarter performance, and how would you actually estimate or forecast coming quarters from consumer demand perspective?
For what we've seen, I think the consumer demand has been under pressure, and we have seen it over the last couple of quarters, and you're right. We continue to see these challenges. I think some of our investments and brand building, and very importantly on the distribution expansion, has really helped us overcome some of these challenges in the last quarter, and we believe that's the best path to overcome these challenges, because these will be temporary in nature, and eventually the consumption will go up as the supply side of this country improves due to investments. So from that perspective, we may see some challenges continuing, but I think we believe we should see some improvement. I'll just share, since you asked specifically, last quarter has seen, and because Glucon-D and Nycil have specifically a reasonable presence in rural, we've seen our rural growth being reasonably good as reported by Nielsen, and our distribution also ramping up. So I think there may be some improvement which can be expected, but very hard to guess. Maybe another quarter of pain from our overall demand perspective. How will each of our categories play out? We still have time to see. But overall, I think environment will stay a little bit sluggish, my guess, in my perspective. But category to category, it will play out differently.
Fair point. Complan, there seems to be some loss of market share and also position. So if you can throw some light, what are the measures that we are doing to regain market share?
So if I were to break down Complan, and I think it's very important for us when we ourselves review this, to de-average the brand. And from the spaces we operate, I think we're holding our segment share reasonably well in the large packs in the kids category, which is the bulk of the core of the category. The shift that we have been slow to respond to has been the low price pouches, which is almost like a price war, and the sachets, where we've been a reluctant participant because of the margin. But having said that, I think we are doing interventions to participate in it, and with our focus on that, I think over next 2 to 3 quarters, we should see some recovery there. And that's really the whole story. Otherwise, from a consumer perspective, our communications have been received well. The consumer, scores in terms of consideration set is only getting stronger. So we just have to address the shift in the category around LUPs and price-led packs, which we're doing some interventions through our pack price architecture review so that our business model still remains,
profitable. Even with LUP intervention, if I see market leaders' growth also, it was not very heartening.
Yeah.
Is it just that it is cannibalizing competition to lower price point, or is it expanding category as well?
So at an overall level, if I look at last 6 months, the category has been declining. Last 3 months, actually, category has declined by 4%. And the growth is coming only in the sachets, and the large packs are declining. So you're right in that sense. I mean, there are new people coming, but still the consumption levels are down. And I think at an overall level, the sachets have not been able to ignite category growth that one would have liked to see. So obviously, I think there are two routes to category expansion. It is my perspective, but I'm only a small 5% player. A better way is to build the right reasons and invest behind nutrition rather than pricing. But that's the route which has been chosen. The results are still to be seen of category.
So I think, Tarun, if I can also add for Tejas's point. So I think as a strategy for Zydus Wellness, one thing that is very clear for us is that in Complan, we are not the market leaders, neither are we in the top three or four companies. So I think what we have a strategy for Complan will be is to make sure we maintain or protect our market shares and then do the right things as the leaders are doing or changing. We need to make sure we remain competitive. I think the story for the organization has to be driven by the other brands where we are strong market leaders and where we see great opportunity in terms of also growth which can lead to profitable growth. So I think the strategy will be that while we solve for Complan and Complan becomes an important product for us, the other businesses or brands will be the ones which will drive the value creation for the organization. And that's how we would focus our resources on.
Fair point. Well explained. But Dr. Patel, just one question here. And then this is, you answered that it's not the focus area. But if I just go back to our discussion 2 years back, there were many sub-segments, white spaces, which were available in Complan. And we, with our group levels, both R&D capabilities and also the front-end distribution capabilities, there were white spaces which we wanted to plug in the portfolio. So any thoughts on that? Or as of now, Complan itself is not a priority to make those level of...
No, Tejas, your point is right. And that opportunity, we are not going to let go of. In fact, we did launch Complan NutriGro in the toddler segment, which was a gap that we had. And that has been medically detailed through our pharmaceutical side of the business. And we do believe there is opportunity in the adult segment and the segments where we are unpresent. And that we will slowly, definitely build on. So the adjacencies to this category of MFD, we are definitely going to pursue and build on. Obviously, in the last 2 years, because of COVID also, we didn't have so much traction because, I mean, new product introductions have been very difficult because of less contact with the medical practitioners and less detailing and other things. But we are again starting to see strong momentum there. So I think those things will definitely continue to be built in terms of adjacencies for this brand, how it can be further used. But as I said, overall, when we are looking at the business, we would still make our priorities the other brands to drive the value growth. And at the same time, protect Complan and continue to build on it. But as that will be the two priorities.
Yeah. I think that's
fine. And sir, now looking at the inflation, is the worst behind us in terms of peak inflation, or are you still seeing that coming quarters will see increased pressure on inflation? That's first. And second, are we planning any more pricing intervention in this quarter or coming quarters to tackle this game?
So as of now, other than milk, most other products are either holding or probably seeing a little bit of dip. So we are quite hopeful that the peak inflation is behind us, but that's coming from today's perspective. Now, things change in last 1.5 years. We've seen things changing very dramatically at a very short time. So very hard to predict, but if I were to speak for today, I believe worst is behind us. And even if the environment holds, we'll get better. At least sequentially, we'll get better. We still have things to, you know, work on. And therefore, we are not at the current prices, we are not planning any specific price interventions.
Is there any sector as well as any margin guidance you would like to work with for FY 2023?
So, if you're looking for operating margins, my limited view will be this, that while we did discuss about a 20% journey there, but if you look at across all players, direct competitors or competitors in FMCG industry, everyone's lost 3-4 percentage points in their EBITDA margins. I think I would want to at least say that Zydus Wellness has done reasonably well to hold on to or almost being able to hold on to the, you know, operating margin. We are keen to improve our margins, operating margins, but it will be a function of how the environment plays out. I had original 20%. I'm not sure if we'll get there, but we are certainly hopeful of an improvement of our operating margins if the environment stabilizes.
Sure. And sir, last bookkeeping question. You used to give size of the categories also. So if you can give only three category sizes, trailing 12-month basis, Glucon-D, HFD, and sugar substitute.
So, for trailing 12 months, HFDs have done about 6,750 crores. The glucose powder category has been about 900 crores. And the third you wanted was?
Sir, sugar-free.
Sugar-free. Will be about 325 crores.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
Sugar substitute category, just to call it out, I think there has been some corrections they are doing because the database is handled between Nielsen and IQVIA. So there may be some corrections they are working on, but that's what it is.
Fair enough, sir. Thanks, thanks on all this, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Alok Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, and congrats on the good set of results. So my first question is, when you look at the strategies to re-recruit, you know, consumers back in Glucon-D and Nycil after a gap of about 2 years, so is there a different lens that you're using now to re-recruit them versus what was the traditional route, adopted previously? And also wanted to get a sense, you know, what would be the NPD pipeline that you plan to leverage, specifically in Glucon-D and Nycil to, you know, sort of, gain more consumers in the category? That's my first question.
Sure. So, Alok, thank you very much for, you know, your wishes. And, when we are looking at Glucon-D and Nycil, I think, typically, and this is a good example to share, typically, the way this category works, for example, Glucon-D, is that, most of the consumption happens between February and, February or March to, about July, August. And therefore, our numbers, our primary numbers, reported numbers, are largely concentrated between January and June. And in this period of consumption, we typically see a household buys 1.5 packs average per household, whoever is buying in, and therefore, they exit the category, and they have to be re-recruited. And therefore, 2 years of gap actually reduced substantially the penetration levels of Glucon-D, and similar numbers would operate for Nycil. Our focus has been on two fronts. One, I think we've used Pankaj Tripathi as a brand ambassador. One of the things that we focused is that traditionally, we have focused only on the sun and summer-related, you know, heat and, you know, deprivation of energy. We are saying that general tiredness and exhaustion also be included in this, and therefore, we used a mix of creative campaigns in terms of telling consumers that there are multiple parts, multiple reasons why you get exhausted, and Glucon-D is your partner in recovery. We've also supported very strongly with a lot of local activity in Hindi heartland of UP, Bihar. And third, of course, something we've talked about is our direct distribution expansion that has happened over the last couple of years. So those are, if I were to say, high level three things that have really worked for us or is something we have used. Similarly, in NYSEL, we had a campaign which is focused on doctors, clinically proven efficacy of NYSEL and how it helps people to go outdoors. And that is a big theme for the kids these days, especially after COVID, and they are able to go outdoors and gives them the confidence to overcome the prickly heat situation that they have with the increased distribution. So those are the ways that we have really focused ourselves. Strong online TV and digital campaigns supported by on-ground activation and improved direct distribution. That's the mix that we've used on both these brands.
Got it. And just a follow-up to that, in terms of the market size reduction that we would have seen versus pre-COVID, so we would be back to anywhere around 85-90% of the pre-COVID, or still a little lower than that, or what would the number be?
So my guess is the data will still come out in over next 2 to 3 months. But my guess is we are between these two brands, we are almost in value terms similar level as the COVID. Of course, there is some value loss in the translation because of pricing, which I think will play out once we have the full data by end of this quarter in terms of the penetration and all levels. But value terms, we've recovered all the 19 numbers.
Yeah.
Got it. That is heartening to know. My second question is on Everyuth brand. So we are seeing this brand equity improve year after year. What would be the adjacencies, that you can look at? So while, of course, in the previous year, we have done, bit on the body lotion and the aloe vera part. But parallelly, we see a lot of these D2C companies trying to do a bit more products on the face, sheets and, a few other things. Now, of course, these categories were not prevalent, couple of years back. So the sizes could be small, but any adjacency that really interests you and can really help Everyuth as a brand move into those adjacencies?
So, I think Everyuth is a brand which shows a very good promise both from an equity point of view and the way consumers are lapping it up. I think our belief is to hold first within the spaces that we operate, and especially scrub, peel off. I think there is a huge opportunity of growing the categories, and we have a single-minded focus on category development. We have looked at a couple of adjacencies, which is the benefit segment of tan removal, body lotions, and aloe vera gel, which we are building on. I think there is enough room for them to grow. There are smaller segments like sheet mask and several other spaces, BB cream, CC cream, etc., which a lot of these companies are trying. We have them all. Developing these products is not such a big task, but the size of the prize may be much smaller versus what we already have at hand and the momentum we're seeing on the brand. So we will, we are studying if we can just keep them, if we're feeling a need to do that only on online space, etc. So some of those, evaluations we are doing, but otherwise we have a very single-minded focus to grow sizable within this. And I think as a skincare play, this can be very profitable and sizable game for us.
Got it. Perfect. And just a bookkeeping one. Now that this Starbench plant has been seized, any changes on the potential tax rate that we can see, going into FY24 or 25? Anything to call out specifically?
No. Sitarganj was already under the normal tax regime, and we don't see any change in the tax rate going forward.
Okay.
And our guidance given to you earlier continues, that we'll be having a taxable income in the year 24-25.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you very much, and best of luck for the future quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may enter star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Anand Venugopal from BMS Capital. Please go ahead.
So I was just wanting to know in regards to this non-seasonal revenue which you have in quarter 2 and quarter 3. So FY21-22, quarter two, quarter three revenues were around 724 crores and 772 crores in FY21-22. So is there any plan to 1,000 crores
as a can? Is there any plan to?
Do you have any plan to achieve that? And for example, if non-seasonal products, are you planning to launch any more non-seasonal products as such to lead growth as such?
So all our brands, basically Complan, Sugar Free, Nutralite, Heavy Youth, play a much larger role because quarter four, quarter one is led by more Glucon D and Nycil get added. But within these, there are clearly plans to build on this. We've already launched, for example, under Nutralite Dood Shakti, under Heavy Youth, body lotions. Complan and Sugar Free have their own agenda, like Sugar Free Green has a specific agenda of growth. So we have specific strategies to build on growth to drive for quarter two, quarter three.
We can move on to the next.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may enter star 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Akash from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir, thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. May I kindly ask you, what is the volume CAGR over last 3 years? Q1 FY22, Q1 FY23.
So we have our overall growth about 4.5% over 3 years, and I think my estimate is about 3.5% would be volume led, because initially first 1 or 2 years we do not have any substantial value increase.
Sure, thank you very much, sir. So in FY23 or maybe FY24, which categories are expected to see new product launches, or let's say which categories would be given higher allocation towards advertisement spends or let's say new product launches? Yeah.
So FY23, I think each of the brands have their own agendas in terms of investments. So Glucon-D and Nycil typically get advertised mostly in the peak season, while brands like Heavy Youth Scrub, Sugar Free Green or Complan have all four quarters of more consistent advertising as we follow. Nutralite spends the lowest because it has a larger institutional exposure, and therefore the more of the action happens on ground from that perspective.
Yeah, sir. And in terms of new product launches, any categories that you wish to call out?
So for the future, it is hard to give any guidance at this stage. Of course, we want to strengthen from the recent launches. We want to strengthen body lotions, Nutralite Dood Shakti, and Sugar Free Green to build up to a sizable level as we move forward. Even Sugarlite has an opportunity to continue build up.
Sure. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, a couple of follow-ups, sir. Sir, just wanted your insights on one of the building blocks that we have called out is leading route to market, so basically distribution expansion. Now, this observation pertains not only to us, but also for industry that I'm not sure if demonetization has anything to do with it, but post demonetization, the distribution expansion is actually not resulting in the revenue or the pre-demonetization. The thumb rule used to be from industry veterans that 10% increase in distribution used to lead to at least 3% increase in sales. Now, since last 4-5 years, we are not seeing this equation holding on true even for industry at large, even for us. So any, because and parallelly, there are many more disruptions happening with go-to-market strategy and now B2B businesses, Udaan and Ajio. So just wanted to understand, is there still a merit left in expanding distribution, direct distribution, because it is not resulting, and there are many more agencies or engines which are actually doing the same for us as a brand owner?
So, Tejas, it's a fair question, not just conceptual, but business impact. I think, yes, you're right. It does not have a very linear relation, and 10:3 certainly is not existing. We have seen it in our business. I've seen it in several other businesses. The biggest benefit of direct distribution that we have seen is being able to drive the agenda of distribution that we believe. I think one of the biggest change events in last 5 to 10 years, and it's nothing to do with just demonetization alone, is the fact that clutter on the stocks, on the shelves of the retail. I think the number of SKUs have proliferated to 2 to 3x levels for a similar retailer, like for like, at a base minimum level in terms of number of SKUs that are coming in board. And therefore, your ability to push through your new products, your critical products, which typically are small, but you want them to become bigger, is that much harder, and you can't rely on wholesale to do that job. Wholesale is a democratic channel. It will sell what is anyway selling already faster. But my Sugar Free Green, I need to build it through my direct distribution efforts. Just putting more money on a wholesale and doing wholesale activation will not play that role. So that's one reason why I need direct distribution. Also, the per dealer throughputs at a global level, if I were to say simplistically put, because there is continued expansion of overall number of outlets. So per dealer throughput for each brand or each category is also reducing, because organized trade, which used to be for me about 3 years back, about 12-13%, has become 17-18%. So my share of general trade has shrunk, but I still have to reach more outlets to do justice to it. So it's become more like an imperative to strategically build my business, and therefore I do not have an alternative if I want to have the right future. But that 10:3 obviously doesn't exist, and therefore it is something that we'll continue to build, but obviously it's not that linear in terms of business outcomes, at least in short term. More medium term, yes.
Thanks.
Hope that answers.
Yeah, no, this clarifies, sir. Definitely clarifies. And sir, second, you have also called out, interestingly, inorganic play gap for filling. So are we still on lookout, or we would like to actually settle down with what we have done so far on acquisition before we make a move, or we are ready, in your opinion, to absorb more brands?
Very simplistically put, we have our hands full. We are focused, very, very clearly focused on growth. If you look at most of our brands have a huge growth opportunity, whether it's Glucon-D or a Nycil or a Sugar Free or a Everyuth or a Nutralite, even a Complan, we have a job to do. So really speaking, and international markets. So if you ask me, we're not in the need that I was, say, 4 years back, 5 years back, that we needed to scale up using acquisition. The role of acquisitions has substantially changed from then and now. Here we're looking at bolt-on, which will take me a longer time, which is, gap filling, which fit into my current 5 broad spaces that we define. And they will help me move faster. They need not be large, but they can be sized not too small to, take a disproportionate time, but they are good gap filling ones. Or something in international markets, top 5, 6, 8 markets, which help me move at a faster pace. For example, Bangladesh, we have strong plans. So if I get something, it'll help me move faster. So these are more gap filling, more sharper, specific, M&A agenda that we'll run. It'll not be just for scale, which was a different need for me at that point in time. So that's how we're looking at it.
And sir, most of the initiatives that you spoke about means that they are employee-driven, so building team building will be required. So should we budget higher employee cost as a percentage of sales as we go along, or do you believe that
the current run rate can actually make us achieve the objective?
So, we have taken out a substantial portion of cost at an employee level. I think from now on, it will be more like a, my guess, the increase as the market and a small percentage increase for any expansion that we may need. So that's how the fixed costs on employees will move, in my view. Right now, we've been taking out substantial costs, but that will kind of cease from now, is how I would look at it. It may still give me operating leverage if I can achieve my double-digit growth as we have, and I think at some point in time that should continue to grow at faster than employees. That's my, that's how we would plan to, but you can build your models accordingly.
Sure. So thanks a lot, and thanks for very detailed answers. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may enter star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ruchita Maheshwari from Bob Caps. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question pertains to Complan. So just would like to know, we had 5.6% kind of a market share, and the share has now come down to 4.8%, though last two quarters we saw the category also decline. Now if you go to the history of Zydus, we used to have a brand called Actilife, and which used to deal to the adult drinks, but we couldn't scale up, and we had to, you know, call off that brand. So how strong we are convinced that we will be able to scale up Complan brand going forward?
Ruchita, I think there are two different situations, and I do believe, I mean, at that point of time, it was a much smaller play, and we were probably a bit ahead of time at that point of time to participate in the adult nutrition, which was actually much, much smaller. Having said this, Complan is a far bigger, far more powerful brand with its own strong following. And therefore, we are quite convinced that there is a big opportunity for this. We are not losing momentum of this brand on the big packs. There is a structural shift in this category led by larger players. I think we have taken our time to respond to that, and we'll be able to do that. Having said this, we are quite confident of having a larger nutrition play over the next 2 to 3 years, where we will be able to hold share in more medium term and build on that as well by participating in other spaces where the brand has traditionally not played. We also must recognize the legacy that we bought, that we had almost 5 or 6 years of continuous market share drop in this brand from a mid doubles to a mid singles. So I think we are reasonably confident we'll be able to hold and build on it. It's okay. A strong, much more powerful brand than Actilife that we had at that point.
Okay. In Q4, we did launch some smaller packs in Complan. So how was the customer response on the same? And are we planning to, make that smaller unit packs available across India? Or how is it like? Or it will be only available in the Hindi belt region?
So we had launched the pouch packs, 450 gram pouch pack, mainly in West Bengal in quarter four. We've got a fairly decent response on that. We are hopeful to, in this quarter, launch the pouch pack in our main, variant, which is chocolate, which should help us compete better as we move along. So those are specifically, so therefore we'll be scaling up our pouch pack, 450 gram pouch pack to a national level as we speak. And that should help us, compete.
Okay. And apart from Nutri-Grow, are you also planning to address some white spaces which is available in the Complan brand going forward?
Yes, we are looking at it, but we will share once we are ready for that.
And this Nutri-Grow now, COVID has been passed off, so you have been, I'm sure, approaching to the MR for, you know, building your brands and recommending to the customers. So what kind of a growth you feel that Nutri-Grow will register maybe in a year or maybe in a 2 years time frame?
So I think we expect to start getting a fair share in the toddler space. 2 to 6 years is estimated to be about 10%, 10 to 11% of the overall HFD market. We do not have sufficient representation there, and we believe with this Complan Nutri-Grow, at least we'll start getting a fair share of 6 to 8% at least in next couple of years if we are able to get it right.
Okay. And just coming to, if we see across your brands, we are market leader in five out of six of your brands, but we are still not have that much liberty in taking a price hike. Earlier, we were a bit, you know, slower in taking a price hike, and even the price hikes were not enough to cover all your cost of inflation. Can you specify what's the reason for us not taking a liberal price hike when our peers have been taking those kind of price hikes despite we being a market leader in many of the brands?
So I think it's a function of each of the brands and the categories they are. For Glucon-D and Nycil, the price hike has to be taken pre-season because and we can take it in between, but we had to take, I mean, a substantial 85-90% of these businesses, these brands get sold between quarter four and quarter one. And we did take the price hike at the right time for these brands. For Sugar Free also, whatever we had to act once the prices went up, we did it. On Nutrilite, as and when palm oil has gone up for our institutional, we have been able to respond. I think the only brand where we have been more reluctant in taking price increases has been Complan, which is more led by the fact that competition is actually taking prices down. And therefore, we've had to be holding back our actions. AV Youth has also taken price increases effectively, and there has been good response without losing any momentum on the brand. So it's only Complan where we've been reluctant, and that's the competitive.
Tarun just said, Ruchita, we have to understand as a company for all of other than Complan, I think we have been very good at being able to take the right price increases. Obviously, the strategy for the organization is to grow by volume and not by price. So that has to be the fundamental in terms of how we run our business, because they, you know, the Indian consumers are price conscious. So there's a limit to what you can do. But in terms of margins, we have done fairly well in terms of taking price increases, and we are premium in our categories. With Complan, I think it's a very different strategy because you can't do it, because while there have been inflation and price increases, the leader brands are actually reducing prices, is contrary to all logical thinking. So we have to defend that as the way the market behaves. But by and large, other than that, we have been very responsible in terms of price increases.
Okay, so have we taken any price hike in Q1?
No, those prices were effective already in Q4, and therefore we didn't have to take anything specific. Over last year Q1, there is a price increase, but we didn't have to do any specific actions in Q1.
Okay, so I believe you have taken some 7.5% of price increase, of which 5.3% has been implemented. Am I correct on this?
No.
All of it is implemented.
Everything is implemented. There will be shifts because of mixes, but product mixes, but all of it is implemented. There is nothing in pipeline.
Okay. And just one last question from my side. The goodwill which we have in our books, have you thought of amortizing it and how it will be going forward, whether it will be in phases or it will be in one go? What's your thought process on this?
So goodwill is not amortizable in the books of account as per the Ind AS. But when we do some, business combination, that time we'll think of restructuring it. But currently it is not amortizable as per Ind AS.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.